Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Time now for Soccer City.
It's full time! Louisville wins a second consecutive cup!
Powered by your Kentuckiana Toyota dealers. Right here on ESPN Louisville.
For racing, is this the moment? C.C. Kaiser, the first goal in racing history!
Now, here are your hosts, Jeff Greer, Casey Whitfield, and Lance McGarvey.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Soccer City Radio. Jeff Greer here with you. Casey Whitfield, Jason Ants. Lance McGarvey is out tonight, and we are wanting to send him some good vibes. He's okay dealing with an immediate family issue, but we wish him the best. I don't know if he wants us talking about it, but just wanted to give him a shout-out. We've been sending him good vibes this week. We think that everything is okay. Has had an exhausting 36 hours and is at home a much deserved rest after a tough day.
Well, he's got a big weekend coming up too, yeah. So he needs his rest.
Yeah, we got to have the voice of God prepared to boom down on Lynn Family Stadium this weekend. Back-to-back games, doubleheader. We've got the Friday night matchup between Racing Louisville and the Washington Spirit, then the San Diego Loyal come to town on Saturday. Both times, first trips for both of these opponents. One is going to pretty frequently be here in Washington. The San Diego Loyal, it's a new cross-conference thing that's been set up, and it's kind of fun because both of these teams bring interesting storylines with them. So we'll get to that in a little bit. We'll obviously get a chance to talk a little bit about what we have seen now from Louisville City and Racing Louisville the last couple weeks. Racing Louisville, of course, playing to a nothing-nothing draw last weekend against Kansas City. I almost called them Salt Lake. That would not have been good, or Utah.
Probably not.
Nothing-nothing tie there. And then we have not seen Louisville City for 2 weeks, but they're coming off of a very frustrating 1-1 draw against the Birmingham Legion. So we've got plenty to talk about, and we have a special guest. We've had great guests on this show, and it's all because of our guy Jonathan Lintner. So I'm excited to have Jonathan Gomez joining us tonight, a.k.a. Jogo, who is the teenage phenom who is getting lots of minutes. He started both games. I would imagine he'll continue to be penciled into the starting lineup. You got to figure out a way to get him on the field. A guy who has trialed at Sporting in Portugal, at Freiburg in Germany, has had interest and has had his name linked to scouts who are tracking him. Get this list, Casey. Manchester City, Borussia Dortmund, PSV, PSV Eindhoven in the Netherlands, Chivas, Werder Bremen. I mean, it's an impressive list. In addition to being on the U.S. national team radar, fascinating young prospect. So we get to chat with him at 6:20.
I am so excited to talk with him. He has just been almost on another level, it seems like, the way he's been playing lately. I think we all knew last season that he was good. And, you know, we knew that European clubs were looking at him. But I don't know if any of us really imagined him having this booming start that he's had so far.
It's been fantastic. Really has been, combined in two games, maybe outside of Del Piccolo, probably the best player on the field. Would you guys agree with that? At least one of the best players on the field.
I would argue he's been the best player.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say single-handedly, but he was the massive reason that we got a result from the first match, because we've stressed this a couple times. Single-handedly stopped two breakaways.
Yep.
And I'm pumped about the Dortmund link because I think we've had pretty good success with American players going to Dortmund.
Yeah, I like PSV too. because I think, and having traveled a little bit in that neck of Europe, that neck of the woods, and been around some of those facilities last winter, I was really impressed with the way that they have these really efficient, in-depth plans for American players. And there's big name guys at Dortmund and those places, and Man City has obviously some youth, and there's a couple other clubs in England that do, but the Netherlands, Belgium, and Germany do it really well. And there's guys of all levels. Chris Durkin, I don't know if you remember him from DC United. I actually sat down with him in Belgium. He's at like a mid-level club in Belgium, but is playing. And so if you're Jogo, it's cool to see a team like PSV Eindhoven interested in you as well, because that's a place where you could probably get on the field sooner. And Dortmund has this legendary development system, probably the best, I would think, in most people's eyes, in Europe for its young players, or certainly in the top three. So we'll talk to him about that. We're going to rapid-fire questions at him because we have so many different questions to get to with Jonathan Gomez. So because we are going to do that and be heavy on Louisville City in the second segment, let's start with racing now because we have 10 minutes or so to talk about it. And before we do, I just want to also mention, speaking of young people, speaking of Jogo and children, he's so young. And 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line if you want to holler at us at any point over the next 40, 50 minutes and chat Louisville City Racing, Louisville Soccer, whatever you want to talk about. But we want to give a shout-out to our guy, Scouse Bramalo. Head over to Molly's. Molly Malone's in the Highlands tonight for the Kids Club meeting they're having. It's at 7 p.m. In the upper bar.
Cool idea to have a kids club and get kids involved in becoming fans of the game as well.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm fortunate enough to have a child, to be the father of a child, my wife would do all of the work, 98% of the work. That kid is going to have a soccer ball at his or her feet almost immediately.
Oh, 100% with my child, too, because they have to like soccer.
Yeah,
they don't have a choice. Option.
Now, if you don't want to be pursuing it as an athlete, totally fine when you're like, you get a few years to see if you really, truly like it. But I still want you to be able to enjoy the game. It's pretty straightforward. Anyway, super cool what they're doing over there. And, of course, by the way, we will mention as well that Landon Donovan, you may have heard, is the coach, the manager of San Diego Loyal. 0-3 so far this season. So we'll get into that in a little bit. So Racing has a rematch with the Washington Spirit, a team that beat Racing. Still a little salty about the way that game ended with an added time goal. Didn't love that ending, and now they've added Kelly O'Hara and Emily Sonnet to their lineup.
Yeah, it was a little heartbreaking because I think there was 5 minutes of added time and they scored in like the 94th minute, and so it was a hard fought game and I think very evenly matched, and then just to end that way really hurt. But both teams are bringing a whole new look. I think we have grown quite a bit as a team, and they're going to bring back some of their U.S. national team players. And so I think it's going to be an interesting lineup to see how do we handle their changes and the national team players coming, and then kind of how do we keep growing? Because each game we've gotten better. Each game we've grown a little bit. So what is the next step for us?
I know we talked about this last week, is how interesting Ebony Salmon will be as an addition to the team, because it will give them a more lethal finisher in front of goal who has shown that she can carve out her own opportunities. And as Christy Holly told us last week, she can run in behind. She can pick out spaces. I mean, she seems like a really good movement forward who can really lead the line. In the meantime, they've got to figure out ways to carve those chances out. It's no shortage of that. It's just finishing both in and around the box.
Yeah, and I think that's been our Achilles heel, and I don't use that phrase lightly since I have torn mine. So I think that's been our biggest thing. And that's actually one of my keys to the game would be to relax in the final third. I think what happens is we get in and around the box and we just start panicking. And we're like, we have to score, we have to score, we have to score. That we forget about doing those little things or relaxing and trusting our ability to finish. Mm-hmm. We just put so much pressure and stress on ourselves that it's hurting us. So like, I think we need to relax in the final third and let our abilities speak for themselves.
The perfect example is the really nice layoff to Savannah McCaskill, and she had the rip just over. It was a good build up. CeCe Kaiser with the nutmeg, and then she kind of rushed the decision on the pass.
Well, and then at the end of the first half too, when Savannah McCaskill beat her on the end line, slotted it back to CeCe Kaiser and just leaned back a little bit too much. It was just, it was so open and so there that we're overthinking it.
Yeah. And I've been really impressed with the attacking players for Racing Louisville, despite the lack of goals. And I'm intrigued to see, as they start facing off against even better national team level defenders, and I know Kelly O'Hara is definitely an attack minded defender and is going to want to get upfield a little bit more. What is an Amina Ekic? How does she operate in those situations? She's shown so far she's got the technical ability to work her way through tight spaces, to craft chances out with her passing. She's especially good at, she's not like a super quick dribbler, but it's a deception and the ability to make people buy into what she's doing and then leave them behind quickly to create space for herself is top flight already. And the confidence that she has to do that as someone who literally just got drafted has to be a positive sign, I think, for Christy.
I would completely agree with that. And I think what we're going to see with a lot of our attacking players is these are players who might not have gotten a lot of minutes at their old clubs, or they are brand new to the NWSL. And so it's going to take a little bit of time for them to adjust to the level of players. And they still are adjusting and they're learning each game. And so each game they're getting better and better. And so it's just going to be a matter of time where that, you know, switch flips and they are just like, we got this. We've got a few games under our belt. We know what we need to do.
Is there anything tactically that needs to change, or that you feel like could be tweaked, or from watching them? I mean, I know they've only played one official league game, but we saw the Challenge Cup. Do we feel more like it's everything is set up well? The personnel is good. It's going to keep improving. But it's more execution than anything to do with tactics.
I do think that. I also think it's tough when our wing players are so used to being in the middle of the field. So Yuki is kind of more of an attacking mid player, and so is Amina. Whenever I've seen Amina play in high school and in college, she was more in the center of the field. So to take two players that are so used to being in the center and tell them you need to stay wider is a big challenge and a big change for a player's mindset and kind of how they approach the game. So I don't think we're utilizing the width of the field as much as we could, but we also have to think of the players we have there. And so again, it's just going to take some time to adjust and for them to kind of feel out that new position. But if we can begin to use that width a little bit more and pull those players even wider, it's going to open up so many more channels in the middle for Savannah to run in, for CeCe to run in, for those midfielders to get in, and even for that opposite side wing player to make some runs in. I think it's going to really change the way we attack.
To that point, I mean, getting behind the defense hasn't been a problem. They're doing a great job, especially in the first half before the other team adjusts, of getting those long diagonal balls in behind. Would you like to see them take on their defender a bit more rather than hitting those? Or, I mean, we sent in probably a dozen early crosses that just get cleared out. And to your point, we've got players out wide who have good technical ability. I'd like to see them take on their defender a bit more, maybe hold that ball a bit longer and wait for more runners to get into the box rather than trying to send it to one person who's surrounded by two or three defenders.
I agree, but I also think that sometimes that early ball in, you know that you're not going to be able to beat your defender. you know that if I play this in, there's a 50-50 chance that it's going to ricochet, it's going to go out of bounds for a corner, my player's going to get to it. You know, there's so many unknowns with that type of ball because it is very dangerous if it's played correctly. And so I think that at times I'm okay with that because we could get a corner from it. It could ricochet off their player right into, you know, our center forward's feet and is one-on-one with the goal. Do we need to take players on a bit more? Probably. But I think that ball's fine. I kind of like that.
Well, I also think that the early ball and the delivery from the flanks is probably more of a product of the personnel who are delivering those balls because, like Amina, as I said, Amina Ekic can create space for herself and is really good with the ball at her feet, but she's not gonna dribble by a bunch of people and shoot and score. I think she wants to make one quick move, create space, and then either, you know, if she's central, she will take that shot. But from the flank, she's not going to dribble into the box, cut back, and try to score. She wants to play that early ball. And Racing Louisville just right now, until Ebony Salmon gets here, does not have runners who are beating the last defender out in front at the penalty spot or at the six or whatever it is to get on the end of those balls. But the players who are whipping those crosses in are players who are not going to dribble by you, dribble into the box and score. CeCe Kaiser's the same way. Savannah McCaskill is probably the most capable of taking people on and getting a shot away, but she's sitting a little bit deeper because she's an eight in this formation. And I know we need to take a break. And one other thing that I did just want to say, you mentioned the width earlier. And I thought it was really interesting as Racing was putting pressure on Kansas City towards the end of the game. There were points where there were two players bouncing into each other. I think it was Savannah McCaskill and CeCe Kaiser at one point kind of ran into each other on the flank. And so it was the spacing just wasn't quite what they needed it to be, but that you work those kinks out. But we do need to take a break. We've got Jonathan Gomez now waiting for us here. On the other side, we'll chat with the youthful star, the young starlet for Louisville City. You're listening to Soccer City Radio here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You're listening to Soccer City, powered by your Kentuckiana Toyota dealers, right here on ESPN Louisville. Now, here's Jeff Greer, Casey Whitfield, and Lance McGarvey.
Back here in studio on ESPN 680 and 105.7, Jeff Greer alongside Casey Whitfield, and we are thrilled to welcome in to the show the teenage sensation, the young fella, Jonathan Gomez. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. We're thrilled to be chatting with you. First of all, how do you feel like your season is going so far? We were just talking about how impressive you've been in the first two games, impacting the match pretty much everywhere on the pitch.
Thank you. Yeah, I think overall as a team, we've had a positive start to the season. Obviously, we would have liked to have won that Birmingham game, but I think personally I've been able to get up and down the line more, especially in the Birmingham game. We played in a 3-5-2, so I was at that wingback position being able to attack more, but at the same time getting back on defense. And even in a four-back, you know, I think I have more freedom to get up and whip a ball in or shoot. So, yeah, I think that's nice, and as well as I've been doing my defensive job. So, yeah.
Is that do you have a preference? Like, I know that it's become the way that tactics have changed the last couple of years and evolved. Those the wing back role in a you know, a back three with that fourth and fifth players a little bit further up is kind of similar to the fullbacks in the back four now. But do you have a preference for which way you're slotted into the lineup?
No, I actually don't. Just like you said, in that three back, we play a little bit higher, and especially if we're playing a 3-5-2, then we have 2-9. So we know that the wingbacks have to get up almost as wingers. But at the same time, there's going to be times where we're pinned into a back five, and we also have to be just like that outside back, you know.
So one thing is you're playing on Lou City's got a bunch of established players. There's some older guys on that squad, and you are extremely young. So what has been your biggest challenge of being so young and playing at a high level?
Yeah, I think that coming in last year, maybe the change in scenery in terms of the locker room, you know, like you said, these are more experienced guys. So I think just trying to get on the same level, you know, knowledge-wise. And I think really on the field, I haven't struggled too much. You know, there's a difference in physicality, but I think I've adapted well. But just trying to, you know, pick their brains. And, I mean, they're here for a reason, and they have the experience. So just trying to learn as much as I can, you know.
What was you mentioned the physicality and like last season when you did get into the games, it was obvious that at least to me, it seemed like opponents definitely were trying to make sure that you knew that there was some physicality in the USL championship. Was the off season, how much did you focus on adding strength and just feeling like you can absorb some of those blows a little bit more? As you advance your career, and maybe what else did you look to do during the off season to get ready for this year?
Yeah, so I think during the off season, I was able to go train in Europe, and some of their feedback was also that I needed to get a little bit stronger. So I definitely took some of the off season time to be in the gym and try to gain more strength all around, you know, balance, upper body, core strength, and whatnot. But in terms of on the field, things that I was working on during the offseason is my 1v1 defending, as well as getting forward, specifically my crosses. And not just that, but the different types of crosses, because, you know, you can have an early ball, a cutback, a chipped ball to the back post, you know, just varying the type of services and trying to pick someone out to be more accurate.
Well, I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that we can definitely see the work that you put in this offseason, because you have started out so strong for us. But you mentioned Europe. And so it's kind of been, you know, no secret that there are teams that are wanting you and watching you. Are there any that, you know, really speak to you, or what are kind of your thoughts about going to potentially play there in the future?
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, I'm just focused on, you know, the team here in Lou City and helping us, helping the team win a championship. But, yeah, I think in a near future, I see myself playing in Europe. And specifically, I mean, I don't know really where. I kind of let my agent and the coaches deal with that. So, yeah, I mean, it would be nice to go play in Europe. But as of right now, I'm focused on here and doing my job and helping the team.
Is that, I don't want to say weird, but is it challenging at all to have, I mean, if you Google yourself, if you Google your name, there's all these articles out there of people talking about your future and all that stuff. And Louisville City has made no, it's not a secret, as Casey said. It's not like it's some elephant in the room that no one's addressing. They're like, yeah, we think this guy is going to go to Europe, and we're trying to help him get there and develop him. How has that been to navigate and kind of deal with? Surely there are people when you go home, or people who call you all the time or text you or whatever it is, who are talking about it around you also. So how have you navigated that in getting into in dealing with all this stuff and getting into the season?
Yeah, I think that really, I mean, like you said, there's people messaging me about it, like, oh, where are you going to go? Like, what's your future going to look like? But I mean, really, like I said, I don't really try to pay attention to that stuff. I mean, it's good that Lou City has put that out there, and obviously it's my desire as well. But I think that as of right now, I'm trying not to pay attention to that stuff and just focus in the moment. And if I do my job now, then I know that better things will come in the future.
So you're almost 18. You are on a professional team. What kind of is going on, like, personally? Do you have school, or what has been your biggest challenge of balancing kind of still being young and having fun and being a professional soccer player?
Yeah, so you got it right on. School, in between school, and I live alone. So, I mean, doing stuff that normally maybe your parents would help you with, like cleaning the apartment, cooking dinner. But for school specifically, I know it's been kind of a challenge because we train in the mornings and then sometimes it goes a little bit later. And so I won't, if I do gym or something like that, then I won't get back until like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And that's barely when I'm starting school. And depending on the day, it'll take maybe 4 to 5 hours. And then I'm done and I might have to cook dinner and whatnot. But actually, speaking about that, right before this call, I took my last final exam, so I'm done.
Yay!
There you go. What's that? What's Chef Jogo got cooking in the kitchen? Do you have any go-tos?
I like to cook pasta, but, different types of pasta. But occasionally, like last night, I went a little bit with traditional Mexican.
Okay.
Shout out to my mom. She's always teaching me new things in the kitchen. So, yeah, I like to vary it up a little bit.
How curious, so if you are, you're trying to mix it up, you're curious about cooking, like how serious do you get? Does your mom send you like very specific recipes? Do you Google them and try to do it yourself? How do you approach that?
I really don't Google them. Occasionally I'll call my mom and I'm like, this thing you made this one time was really good. Can you tell me the ingredients? And then so I'll go and buy them, and then sometimes she'll just send me, like, how she makes it, or sometimes she'll be on the phone, and she's like, do this, and, yeah, that's how I learn.
That's awesome. And you know what? Moms and grandmas and aunts, they don't need recipes written down. They don't need Google. They have it memorized.
Or
I don't
measuring
know how.
Cups.
Yeah, they just like know
just
the
pour.
Exact right amount to put into stuff. I don't know how they do it, when they learn that, but it's good to have someone like that who you can call. And help you out. Has it been weird living by yourself? I mean, I was in France in November 2 years ago now, 2019, and I interviewed a guy who was about your age, who was an NBA prospect, and he finished practice at this facility in France, and we got on the metro back to the city, and he got out with like two of his friends who both had backpacks on, and they were like, we have to go to classes now, and then I'm going to go live by myself in this apartment. And same deal as you, learning how to cook and all that stuff. Has that been weird to try to adjust to that, or do you just feel like this is what everyone else does in college anyway, so I might as well just do it now?
Yeah, I think that's kind of my mindset. I mean, eventually I think I would have had to do it. And I think the fact that even before I came to play for Lou City, when I was at the FC Dallas Academy, I had experience with it there as I lived with my brother in an apartment alone while we played for the FC Dallas Academy. So I think that really helped me coming here and making that switch a little bit easier.
I would say that definitely helped. So you are a role model, whether you want to believe it or not, because you are so young, you've accomplished so much already that we've got these academy teams that you are a major role model to. What was the best piece of advice you've gotten, or what kind of advice would you give to those young guys and gals who are wanting to follow kind of the same path that you did of starting a professional career?
Yeah, so I can think of a quote off the top of my head, and this good piece of advice that my U13 coach told me. So he told me that it's kind of along the same line, but it's not all about talent. It's 30% talent, if that, and 70% attitude and effort. And I mean, that just goes to show that not always the most talented player is going to make it, and not always the most talented player is the most dedicated. And this is a quote that I have it written up on my board in my room, but it's, Hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard. And that kind of speaks for itself.
That's my favorite quote. I say that all the time. So that makes me really excited that you like that one too. Literally all the time. You can ask Lance. I would tell him all the time.
Well, there you go.
That's
fair.
I love that quote.
Jogo, I'm curious if you, like, I'm sure you've got a list of them, but who would you say maybe has been your biggest influence and help on Lou City since coming in as a younger player? Is there one guy who sticks out?
You're definitely right about there being a list of them. I think this year especially, I mean, position specific, I think OJ, Oscar, and Pat have really helped me, especially last year. But I think overall in the locker room, I would say Paulo and Antoine.
Okay. And what, like, what stands out about it? I don't know how else to ask it. Like, what, you know, what stands out about what they have been able to do for you? Is it just little nuggets of wisdom? Like, what, why do you feel that way about those guys?
I mean, for like Oscar and Pat, obviously they have a lot of experience playing professionally. So whenever I can, I try to learn from them on the field as well as off the field. And then Paulo and Antoine, I mean, they're just fun guys, you know, in the locker room. They'll like joke with me and whatnot. So it makes me feel like I fit in, and I really like it.
You come from a family of footballers. What was that experience like growing up and playing with a competitive family of soccer players?
Yeah, I think that me and my brother, I mean, my sister also plays soccer, but me and my brother were always, you know, competing and going to train whenever we could. Going to train with my dad as well. My dad likes to watch soccer and played it as well. But yeah, I think that it's really helped. And I think I even started playing soccer because I watched my dad and my brother play and I wanted to be just like them. So that's how I think I got into the sport and, you know, it became what it is today.
I think it's definitely off to the right start, my friend. Last thing then, we have to ask this, and I cannot believe we didn't ask Paulo this when we had him on. This is a huge miss. But it's a question from our producer, Jason, and it's a great one. Who is the best FIFA player on the team, in your opinion?
Oh, wow. That's actually funny you asked that, because recently when we were in, I think it was when we went to preseason in Austin, Antoine brought his Xbox, and Josh did as well, and we kind of had like a little tournament. I remember being in the room, and Lexi was there, Nia was there, Paula was there, Jimmy was there, Antoine, me, Josh, everybody was there. So it's interesting that you asked that, but I think I'm going to have to go with either Elijah or Akil, because I've watched them play, and it's always a good game, and then Elijah has beat me like 4-0.
So it's the younger guys. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's funny because Jimmy and Antoine are always saying, like, if we do 2v2s, you guys will never beat us. And then, like, me and Josh played them, and then we beat them. We beat them 2 out of 3 times, to be fair. They did beat us once. And they were like, it's because we haven't played in, like, 10 years.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Jogo, I had my in-laws, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were in town. They have an exchange student from Mexico City, and he's a sophomore in high school, and he plays FIFA all the time. And the night before Thanksgiving, we put it up on a projector screen. I think we played like 8 games. Every other game, he beat me like 5-1. But I beat him one time with Leeds, and he was Bayern Munich, and I beat him. And it was like the highlight of my year. So wow. It's a lot to deal with. So being a competitor in FIFA is a very important thing, I know, in the locker room. So I'm glad that you're competing, and you've got some good teammates in there too.
Of course.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work on the field, and we will see you Saturday.
Thank you so much, and thank you to you guys for the invitation and for having me on.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's Jonathan Gomez. Pretty cool.
He is awesome.
He's cool.
Yeah.
So young. Like, it's so
young.
Well,
he's
so
well spoken, though. Like, yeah. I mean, think back to when you were 17.
I would not have been a good radio interview. That's for sure. We do need to take a break here on Soccer City Radio. When we come back, we'll wrap up the bow on a couple of different things that we got to with Jonathan, and look ahead to Louisville City, San Diego Loyal, and Racing Louisville, as well as we get ready. There was a new signing that we got to get to as well for Louisville City, which gives them a little bit more attacking juice. You may remember the name from St. Louis in previous matchups. Anyway, Soccer City, ESPN 680, 105.7. We'll be right back.
You're Locked On Soccer City, powered by your Kentuckiana Toyota dealers, right here on ESPN Louisville. Now, here's Jeff Greer, Casey Whitfield, and Lance McGarvey.
Back here for the final 15 minutes or so of Soccer City Radio here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. And Louisville City is getting ready to play a matchup this weekend against the San Diego Loyal, 7:30 on Saturday night at Lynn Family Stadium. And, of course, I'm contractually obligated to tell you this, guys. I'm trying to find the read sheet here. Of course, as soon as I say this, I can't find it. We will have those games. They'll be on ESPN Louisville on Saturday evening. And you'll be able to listen to it, I believe, on all ESPN Louisville stations, if I'm not mistaken, because I've deleted my promo sheet here. Brilliant, brilliant move right before I went on the radio. But the pregame show will start at 7:15, Casey and me, and then we'll hop on for the kickoff. Technically 7:30, but it's really usually like 7:33.
Yeah, it's always on the ish.
Yeah, 7:35, classic TV thing. But it's an interesting matchup. The San Diego Loyal are not off to a great start. They lost to Phoenix 4-1 to start the season off. Actually, I believe the same night as Louisville City's first game on April 30th. Louisville City played the 24th, excuse me. The first weekend of the rest of the league playing. They lost 4-1. And then they played Rio Grande Valley and lost 1-0. And then they lost 3-1 to Tacoma. Tacoma's off to a nice start here. So San Diego Loyal is in last in the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
Not great.
Not great, but it's going to be a really great opportunity to kind of see some teams on the other side of the country. It's going to be a really cool crossover. I think one thing that they are lacking in is the composure in the back. San Diego is very disorganized, and I think that, you know, bodes well for us because we are so dynamic in our attacking players that I think we could see some goals, quite a few maybe.
Could.
I'm hoping.
It's possible. Brian Ownby is out due to suspension. I forgot about that. But that does not change the fact that Louisville City added some talent to its ranks. That was announced, I believe, 9 hours ago. Yeah, not right at 9 a.m. Oh, somebody had that email set up to go out right at 9. Kyle Gregg, who scored 57, who has scored 57 regular season USL championship goals, has been added to the group. And with some of the injuries, I know Antoine Opino was pulled last weekend with a still bothering injury, as the British would say, a niggling injury that has continued to bother him. He only lasted a half hour, and now you've got Brian Ownby suspended. I realize that's just one game, but they do need some. I feel like it's nice to have an option of adding a little bit more flavor, especially with Jorge Gonzalez out for a little while when he was brought in to be an attacking player. So an interesting player, a familiar name, a guy who played for St. Louis from 2018 to 20, and has scored a lot of goals. So an interesting addition here. Late into the developing, I guess it's not the preseason anymore, but nope. Into the early part of the season.
I like this addition because it gives them another threat, like you said, up top. So maybe a team presents a formation that does not suit certain player's style, and maybe it suits his. It gives us another form of attack. It gives those attacking players maybe like a sub or a transition, and we're not going to drop. Which is a big thing that happens with a lot of times when you sub, the whole level drops. Instead, we're going to sub and we're going to come at you in a whole different way. Mm. So I really like the addition of Kyle.
He's got an interesting quote in here, and I think it's kind of made me chuckle a little bit, but he did not expect to have such a long wait to find another club after St. Louis FC folded after this past season, as people remember. It was a tough off season, he said. Things moved a little slower than I anticipated, but when I look at the end result, and that is signing with Louisville City, it was worth the wait because what better club to come and play for than Louisville? So it worked out okay for him. And that's cool. And it gives them bodies. They need bodies. They need guys to bring a little something different. And Cameron Lancaster is going to start. I mean, there's no question. If he's on your roster, he's going to play. It doesn't hurt to give him some competition either.
Right. You have to keep the player sharp. And so by bringing in this player, it tells Cam, like, hey, if you're not on, we've got this guy that we can put in too. So, like, you need to make sure you're training at your best.
Absolutely. Any thoughts from the Jogo conversation, by the way? I forgot to kind of lean on that conversation a little bit more after hanging up with him.
You know, I just think that he is a great all-around person. I mean, I think when I was 17, if I got asked to do a radio interview, I don't know if I would have been as composed as he was. And then also just, I love how he kept talking about his team. We were sitting there praising him, saying how great he's been doing because it's the truth. And he immediately turned to his teammates and was like, yeah, we have been doing a great job. Not I've been doing awesome because I'm so good. It was all about the team and kind of how they've helped him develop into who he is.
It was the same thing after the last match when he, you know, he came down and we interviewed him, and this mic's messed up. When he came down and we interviewed him after the match, it was the same thing. You know, everybody's asking him, hey, you've done such a great job these first two matches, and it was all about what other people have done to help him get to that point, how other people have helped him change his game, develop his game, and what they were doing to put him in good position. And to have that maturity, and especially for a guy like him that knows, I'm gone after this year, I'm going to be in Europe, to have that maturity and have the team mindset first, I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to say he's going to be our best player this season, and he's already turning into a leader.
And the fact is like, and I know I mentioned this with him, like, it is fascinating to watch teenagers living by themselves and even at the college level, and Casey can attest to this, you have a pretty defined schedule, like especially during the season, but in critical conditioning parts of your year two, where it's preseason or you're doing your off-season conditioning program, like, you've got a schedule that you have to follow. And the difference is like, you might lose your scholarship, or you might, you know, whatever, you might go on probation if you're not getting your grades up or whatever. This dude's got like a professional contract. So it's a similar requirement that he's got to fulfill that stuff. And if you are interested at all in making it in Europe, you've got to not only fulfill that and meet those requirements, you have to exceed them. And for a 17-year-old to act the way he does and carry himself the way he does, and talk about his regimen and his organizational skills and stuff. When I was 17, my mom was doing my laundry for me. And this guy's like cooking for himself, and I mean it's very impressive.
Well, and just the, you know, time that it takes for classes, for practice. Like, I don't think a lot of people truly understand how disciplined you need to be able to uphold that kind of schedule. Like, a lot of, like, in college when I would have practice at 7 a.m., practice from 7 to 8, then we had to run to class, and right after class you ran back to the weight room to get your lift in, and then you had to go back to class, and it's just, it's exhausting. And so to be juggling all of that and still be able to come out each weekend and perform the way he does is truly inspiring, especially because he's only 17. He's technically not an adult.
Yeah. An interesting story. He will be 18 on September 1st, which Ence and I were talking about. Was that yesterday that we were talking about? When were we talking about this?
Yeah, that was last night.
He's got this. He's right on the cusp. I believe that's deadline day, isn't it? When is transfer deadline day?
Have they set it yet? That's what I was trying to figure out. I don't know with Euros how they're going to do that, if they're going to push it back. Because last year, I believe, it went into September.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very close timing. Now, my thought is that what they may do is he'll sign with somebody, and then maybe that club will loan him back to Louisville City for the remainder of the season, and then he'll join them in November,
for a month and a half. Yeah, interesting. Well, that's possible, but I think everyone's interested to see how his career plays out. Who's your Euro pick? Do you have one yet? It's being called Euro 2020, even though it's 2021.
It depends on his health. But I think with the way that Kevin De Bruyne is playing right now and the ridiculous form that Romelu Lukaku's in, I don't see how you can't pick Belgium. I mean, that team is loaded from top to bottom. They don't even have to worry about Hazard. Think about that. Hazard is an afterthought when you look at that roster right now. If he's in form, then it's just a bonus. But you have the best midfielder in the world and one of the three best strikers in the world right now. I don't see France repeating what they did. And I don't know that England's back line is good enough.
Yeah, I think England's back line is a problem. That's interesting. Do you have any picks?
Not really, but I've like first thought I would probably go with Belgium just because they are solid.
Like
they're stacked.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of can they play together?
Yeah.
Like can they
it
come,
always is, it, yeah. it seems
can
like.
These players come back and adjust from playing their club teams to playing a national team?
Yeah. And it always feels like when things aren't going right for them, they look at each other and they're like, I hate you. I legit do not like playing with you. Well, we'll see. I mean, we're going to be able to talk about this as it's happening. I will not get any work done for that month because that is always must-watch TV. I was supposed to cover them. I had an assignment to cover in Munich.
The first 3 weeks of the tournament, there is a match every single day.
I know. It's amazing. So I want to say something here because this is soccer-related, and it's a little personal to me. So I don't want to be the guy who's, I'm hosting the show, so I get to say whatever I want. But I feel like this is relevant to soccer and the soccer world. I do want to offer some thoughts out to the folks at the Washington Post because the editor, actually, speaking of the Euros, the editor who I had been talking to, who was like, oh, you'll be in Munich. Why don't you write a Kylian Mbappe and a Cristiano Ronaldo story and see if you can find something on Germany? For the Washington Post, I was very, very freaking excited about that. We were going to be in Munich in June. I think it was June, right? And his name is David Larimer, and he very recently and suddenly passed away. And so he's tight with Stephen Goff, who is the soccer reporter for the Washington Post, and in my opinion, one of the best in the country, if not the best American soccer writer, in my humble opinion. And loved Larimer loved soccer and was an awesome guy. I know this is a major swerve for a Louisville show, but the soccer community lost a fan, and that sucks. And he's got a young kid and a wife who also works at the Washington Post. So my thoughts and prayers are out to the folks at the Post. And I know Stephen Goff has talked about Louisville soccer in the past. We've had him on ESPN Louisville to talk about racing in Louisville City. So I know they're all suffering right now, really sad about everything that has happened with David. So thoughts and prayers to them. I don't really know a good transition out of that. Don't know really why I got to that point. But the Euros will be very interesting. And yeah, we'll see how they play out. Jason would like us to know, would like us to discuss our thoughts on the Alisson goal. Did you see that, the goalkeeper goal?
Yes, because my dad's a big Liverpool fan, and so he texted me and was like, did you see that? And I was like, no, like I can't watch it at home. But so I went home right after that, and he had it all like queued up for me to watch, and it was amazing because I always talk about how I love when the keepers go forward and I want them to score. So it was awesome.
And anybody that knows me knows I hate Liverpool. You can't be anything but happy for him. He lost his dad earlier this year, and they showed the interview with him on NBC Live, and you're almost crying watching him. You know, when he scored the goal, he immediately points to the heavens, and you can just see him saying papa, papa over and over. But it's a win-win for me, because about 3 weeks ago I placed a bet that Leicester would not finish in the top four, and it pays 5-1. So right now, because of that goal, I'm kind of sitting pretty right now.
You're feeling pretty good. I'm scanning the matchups here just to make sure I'm feeling confident in this pick. I'm gonna say that Liverpool will finish in the top four. I think Leicester, Tottenham. I feel like that'll just be a tie.
Well, it doesn't matter. If Liverpool and Chelsea win, they finish top four.
No, I know. So it doesn't matter, but I don't know. And I don't see Everton beating Man City on the last day of the season. I don't see Arsenal doing anything because Arsenal is crap. And I think I'll probably say West Ham holds on to sixth place, right? Yeah, no, I think they're going to hold on to sixth place.
And United's not going to play anybody important because they've got Europa League final on Wednesday.
There you go.
Spain literally moved all as final day of the season, all the teams play at the same time. Spain literally moved their matches from Sunday to Saturday to help out Villarreal.
There you go. That's nice. That's nice.
It doesn't matter.
Louisville
We're still
City, move up some of these games from like Sunday to Friday night, so I can take a weekend trip somewhere. Saturday night to Friday. No, I'm kidding. Can't wait to see Washington come to town. This is again. I know we got to go, but this is again what we have talked about. Racing Louisville has fun players. Emily Fox, Amina Ekic, Savannah McCaskill have been so fun to watch. Yuki Nagasato. I mean, there's been a lot of players who have really stood out to me. And also, one of the cool things is having some of these players come here. And Kelly O'Hara and Emily Sonnet and some others on a talented Spirit team that I feel like is still kind of feeling itself out, similar to Racing Louisville, coming to town on Friday. And then Landon freaking Donovan and the San Diego Loyal will be here on Saturday night.
It's like every soccer fan's dream because you get two games in one weekend and you get to see, you know, some soccer legends coming here to Louisville this weekend. So, I'm pumped.
Yeah.
And you've got the manager of the women's national team in town.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Yeah. Vlatko will be here. Ence is making an effort here, by the way. Maybe we can get him on next week. Maybe. We'll see. We couldn't get Landon, but that is a whole other thing because they're traveling right now. 7:15, the pregame show starts Saturday night right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. I think it's on all Louisville stations again this weekend. If not, try 680 first. And 7:30 kickoff is when we'll get into the game action. It'll be me, Casey Whitfield. You'll hear Lance's beautiful voice in the background to know he is okay.
Yes.
He's texting during the show. He's good. He's good to go. He appreciates all the well wishes. Things are good. He's in great spirits. Casey, it's been fun.
It's been great. I can't wait for this weekend.
Two soccer games
two
in 2 days.
Games.
Let's do it. All right. Another episode of Soccer City in the books, folks. We'll see you this weekend at Lynn Family Stadium.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.